Buongiorno amici e benvenuti to Kimberly's Italy. I actually should say welcome back to Kimberly's Italy. And thank you for putting up with our week off since we didn't publish an episode as we do each and every Wednesday. We had a lot going on prior to our departure, so we decided to skip one week and hope that you all survived without our chatter about Italian culture, history, cuisine, architecture, and of course, vino italiano.
And I just want to say where I was last Wednesday. I was in Mallorca eating a chocolate croissant for breakfast made by a Swedish person. So I'm very sorry we missed the episode, but it was an international week.
I wondered where you were going with this.
And it was a gas, and it was a great croissant. And every day I went and had the same chocolate croissant. But.
Yeah.
Okay. And to that point, we're sitting here. We're in Lake Garda, Lago di Garda, and we're sipping a wonderful Amarone that we bought last night at an auto grill, which, as we've explained to you before, are the highway rest stops that have panini, coffee bars, and vino. And in this case, really good vino. I'll go into this. And by the way, they had a 50% sale on wine, which perhaps was due to Pasqua, which is Easter.
Right.
And we chose a 40-euro bottle of Amarone, which goes for at least 60 bucks in the United States.
At least.
And we bought it for 20 euros. La Capa was so excited, she looked at me bug-eyed and said, for this sale price, we should buy a bottle of Barolo as well. So we did, for only 15 euros. And we had that last night upon our arrival.
And they were both delicioso, right? And now, after having a sip of this Amarone, I'm actually really sad we didn't buy like an entire case for the rest of this trip.
But then we wouldn't get to sample everything we've been sampling.
True. But no, a mixed case, you know, just for the price of 50% off.
We could have.
It was an opportunity missed.
If they had offered shipping, maybe we should have shipped two or three cases home.
But the moral of the story is only in Italy can you buy an excellent wine at a highway rest stop. Autogrill is the name. We've gone there before, and they are amazing.
Let me also add, in addition to the wine, we also bought panini for our dinner because we flew into Malpensa very, very late. It was about 8 at night by the time we got to the auto grill. And It was raining.
Or I should say pouring.
It was pouring, yes. And it was a brand new car with a lot of
bells and whistles.
Bells and whistles that I don't have in my 2008 Audi A6. And
he's so proud about how old his car is.
I love my car. It goes like a bat out of hell.
This car had more than bells and whistles. She was yelling at you the entire
time.
She
was yelling at me.
Stay in your lane. No, it was a more feminine name, voice. Stay in your lane.
Yes.
Or you're speeding. Ding, stay ding, 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 ding. In your lane.
I know. It was awful.
Well, she was annoying.
Yes.
But the car's nice.
The car's wonderful. We've since learned how to turn that stuff off.
But didn't your panini and everything just...
And well, we got to our apartment. Well, we had, it was late at night, and we got here after traveling for the afternoon, and we got to Lake Garda. The woman who rented our apartment to us was waiting for us, very nice.
At 10:15.
At 10:15, she was great.
Awesome.
And we got in, showed us everything. She left, and we just basically bolted for the Barolo as fast as we could. I don't think I've uncorked a bottle of wine faster. And I snarfed that panini, and that panini was so good. I mean, to have the fresh baguette that I had it on with good cheese, prosciutto crudo, it was great, and it confirmed my love and devotion to Auto Grill. And Auto Grill, if you want to move to America,
right?
Please do.
Or just hire us as your new sponsors.
You could really help the Mass Pike. And let me also say that La Capa, in relation to this Auto Grill, she researched the one that we were going to go. We had a countdown, probably from like 10 kilometers out. 10K. 8K.
I didn't want to miss this particular auto grill because I literally did go online, Google Maps, street view, drove into each one and thought, this one's too big. This one's too shabby. This one's perfect. And that's where we went.
Between the car telling me to stay in the lane and you counting out the kilometers and then meters down to get off here,
In the pouring rain.
In the pouring rain. And no. I still hadn't quite figured out the speed of the intermittent wipers.
Right.
Anyway.
Oh my God, it was quite the adventure.
We laughed the whole time.
Oh, we did. Stop that. There was no nothing. It was like kind of, you know, white knuckle driving. So I was not annoying. Take that back. Dio mio. All right, we will go into all that about this trip, I should say, this road trip in future episodes. And I promise I'll even share how I made my amazing itinerary that included this particular auto grill. But first, let me say, considering the historically high amount of travelers to Italy these last few years and the ever-growing amount of online travel planning apps, including the AI-generated ones that promise it will only take 2 minutes to plan a 10-day trip to Italy for you, I just want to point out why my travel planning is so much more personal and legitimate, to be honest. And actually, please believe me about the 2-minute artificial intelligence app, because I did it. I filled out their questionnaire, if you want to call it that. It took about 3 minutes to check their boxes of very generic questions. And sure enough, in 2 minutes, as they promised, they produced an itinerary. It was missing some serious important factors, such as a hotel, the availability for hotel, and pricing for your time frame, and specifics on rental cars or train schedules, etc. All of the things that I do for my clients with my travel planning.
This, basically, it was just, you showed it to me. It was just generic. You can go here, blah, blah, blah.
It did work in regards to use, if I chose like cities versus countryside. I chose...
But it was generic.
It was purely generic. It did work. AI works and doesn't work, but you cannot plan a trip from it because you need to sleep somewhere. You need to get there.
Well, also, you need, in this day when there are 50 million people, that's how many people go to Italy every year, 50 million right now, that's 2023 number. You need the ability to connect with people, connect with vendors, connect with hotels.
I was just going to thank you for patting my back, but I was just going to say that
I was just trying to make up from before.
What was before?
You were yelling at me on the highway.
Oh, yeah, I see you're being nice now. Got it. I have so many connections and Italian colleagues that I work with to make your trip to Bellitalia so unique and personal. So do please keep this in mind as you listen to our podcast episodes, because the trips that I have planned for clients have made so many people from around the world molto, molto contento. Va bene?
Sì, of course. would I say no at this point? But I can attest to the fact that Kimberly put so much effort into each client trip, even though she's not a 22-year-old influencer. Speaking of that, go into that.
Exactly. Check this out. When we were in Palma last week, we heard this from both friends while we were all together. One friend is a private jet pilot and the other is a yacht captain. And to be honest, we interviewed both of them individually, you did, and we have episodes of them from, you know, like year one.
Yes, Clive and Chris.
Yes. These two guys told us this fact that just blew me away. They told us that Instagram influencers find private jets and yachts that will allow them to pay for just 1 hour so that they can film themselves pretending to be on a Gulfstream jet. The jet, meanwhile, is parked on the runway. You know, it has 5 or 6 hours in between the next, trip.
That's why you see them climbing up the companionway, you know, the ladder.
So they pay however much money it is, and these jet owners and yacht owners aren't stupid. They probably say, okay, here, a couple thousand dollars.
It's sitting there. There's no fuel running.
Euro. Exactly.
The cost to run, the cost to hire a Gulfstream 500 is about $11,000 an hour.
Okay. So who knows what they charge them?
Probably pay a couple of $1,000s
right.
to...
But the point is, these Instagram influencers are pretending that they're flying on a Gulfstream or pretending that they're sailing on a 100-foot Wally yacht. And that was the funny part coming from Clive. He said, you're on a dock in Palma. There's 9 million boats behind you. You can't really pretend you're sailing.
You can't really pretend it's yours. Well, you can pretend
oh, they
it's
are,
yours.
Yeah, yes, no, that right. they chartered it. And that, so instead, they just have to be sitting, you know, in the stern
under the awning.
And having champagne and cava and, you know, oysters. But they just paid for it. So it shocked me when our friends told us this. And then I thought, why was I surprised? A lot of what you see online is smoke and mirrors. All right, Allora, enough of all that. Let's return to our reality. We are currently in Lago di Garda in the village of De Senzano. We got here in quite a complicated...
Roundabout fashion.
And that made us want to share some travel tips from this past week. First thing up, Apple AirTags. I'm sure a lot of you have been using them since they first came on the market almost exactly 3 years ago this month. But this was our first time using them in our luggage. We decided to do so because we flew from Boston to Copenhagen and deliberately chose a long layover so we could have breakfast with our Danish friend Lisa.
As one does.
Right?
If you have a friend in Copenhagen.
Exactly.
The breakfast was spectacular. And since our bags were checked in Boston and the final destination was Palma, Mallorca, well, you know, there was a 7 or 8 hour layover, and we were worried a bit that our two suitcases would get lost in the shuffle at Copenhagen Airport. So I bought 4 Apple AirTags. I put 2 in our backpacks, and I put 2 in our luggage. And we logged on, connected them to our iPhones, and shared them with each other so we could watch our bags go around. It was like watching,
which we did.
It was like watching your children fly around. We got into Copenhagen, and in Boston, we saw our bags on the plane. We knew they were on the plane. And then we got into Copenhagen and we knew our bags were off the plane in Copenhagen. And we took our trip to the city center on the tram. And it's not very far.
Actually, an underground, at one point, it's an underground metro.
Right. And I logged on while we were in the metro. And because Denmark has amazing connectivity everywhere, even underground, I could see that our luggage had been moved from the plane. We flew in on and then to the underground storage area at Copenhagen Airport.
I was sitting there looking at all the Danes thinking, there's a few like dark-headed people lately. You know, I was like looking at the people and all of a sudden you're like, look, look. And I look at his phone. I'm like, and that is because our bags have been moved to the underground storage area. I'm like, the things that make you happy. However, remember, Tommaso, that we did take our designer backpacks with us. And I say designer only because they're not like backpacks with sleeping bags. They're nice looking. And we took them with us because Tommaso had all this recording equipment in there. And I had a load of things I didn't want to leave in the luggage locker in the airport. But we also put the AirTag in each of our backpacks, as he mentioned, just in case we left one somewhere or if it was, you know, nicked while we were having breakfast. However, that never happens in Denmark. And as we mentioned from last Christmas or Christmas 22, we saw baby carriages again outside the awesome, super cool restaurant where we had brunch with Lisa. There were like 3 or 4 baby carriages lined up out the window. They're all tucked in, warm, sleeping, and maybe they have a little baby monitor in there. I don't know. But the parents are in there having breakfast right next to us. And it just doesn't happen there. Those Vikings.
It's because they have an AirTag connected to the doctor.
Yeah, maybe. Those Vikings are very civilized and very good people.
In summary, it's very easy to pair the AirTags with your phones. And it just made us feel good knowing that we knew where our luggage was going to end up. And you know, even going down to Palma, we understood when it was there. We saw it get on the plane. We saw it rolling across the runway. It was perfect.
I'm reading a book and he's watching the air tags move.
I was like a 15-year-old playing a game on my phone. But I have some screenshots from my phone that I have that I will put up on a page.
Of the moving luggage?
It's actually not moving at this point.
It's a screenshot.
There's screenshots. But also there's a link that I'll put up to Amazon so you can buy these if you want. And I'd highly recommend it. It made us feel really, really good. And even on the way back when we went from Palma to Milan, we knew where our luggage was on the plane. It was nice.
That was a direct flight.
Yeah, that was a direct flight, but
less
still.
Less worrisome.
It's still. You never know. So if you look in the show notes, you will see a link to the page on our website, which will have links to the Amazon AirTags, and it'll also have a couple of screenshots from my phone, which I'm so excited about.
Well, I'm not sure everyone else is excited to look at them, but go ahead. It was so nice for us to be able to visit our friend in Copenhagen, and we're actually doing it on the return as well, but with an even longer layover of almost 24 hours, because we're going to take other Danish friends out to dinner and spend the night at yet another friend's apartment. So it's really enjoyable for us to do this type of layover for the same price of the flight. Well, actually, if I recall, I think it was even a little less expensive because, you know, a direct flight goes first, et cetera. So how many people want to spend 24 hours in a layover in a city before you start your vacation in another country?
But oftentimes it is harder to get that direct flight to some
countries. Because they get booked first.
Because they get booked first.
But for those of you that have friends in Europe, you can go, you can take a layover like we did before you fly into Italy. It's a fantastic way to get your quick Danish or French or Spanish fix before or after your Italian vacanza.
And if you don't have a lot of friends in Europe, then try and make some. You'll be really, really happy. We are.
It's easy to do. They're so friendly.
Yes.
All right. Or let's say you have no friends at all in Europe. But if you want to see Paris, for example, throw in a 6 or 8 hour layover, and then it would just be a short flight to, let's say, Venice. This concept may not be for everyone, but for those of you that want to get a little more bang for your buck, just look at flight options. It made this trip a little more interesting. The arrival, quick breakfast with Lisa, and then back to the airport, and then on to Mallorca. It just changed it a bit and added some spice.
Yeah. And
I didn't feel more tired when we got to Mallorca.
No, because we had that big, huge cappuccino in Copenhagen at 6:45.
Oh, right. It was delicious.
She asked, do you want the big one?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Big or small? We said big. All right. Back to Lago di Garda. It is quite rainy here, so that is one reason why we are recording this episode right now. But we will get out and about regardless of the weather because you can't do anything about it. Driving the coast of Lago di Garda is not quite as curvy or death-defying as Lago di Como, but we will see. And this time we have a nicer, however, slightly larger car. The one we just mentioned, the Jeep. I had actually reserved an Opel Mokka because I love the name Mokka and I have very funny memories of Opel road trips back in my Milano days. I don't think an Opel has existed in the United States in like 30 years, right? But they were all over when I lived in Italy.
Well, the one you rented also had, it showed like this psychedelic...
Yeah, it was cool looking, right?
Jet-like...
The dashboard.
Dashboard.
Yeah, I thought it looked good.
It was pink at the time. Hopefully we could have changed the color.
What was pink?
The picture you showed me of the dashboard.
Oh, I don't remember that. Pink accents.
I'm sure it's LED.
Well, when we arrived at the Milano Malpensa airport the other night, the very nice woman at Hertz offered us an upgrade to a new Jeep, which we accepted, yet it wasn't as exciting because Jeeps are all over America, but as Tommaso mentioned, it's a very nice car.
It is a very nice car, and it's a very different Jeep than we have in America.
Six gears.
It's six gears, and it's also diesel, So it's got a little bit less grunt, but if you know how to shift in a manual, you can get it going really fast. It takes a minute to get used to the six gears. And the fact that reverse is next to first gear.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, you've got to pull it up. You've got to pull up this little thing. You know, it's not like my old Fiats or my old Audi where you just whacked it over and put the clutch down.
Down and right.
Right.
This is up and left.
Yes, up and left.
And we did go backwards and forwards a few times when he didn't mean to.
You promised me you wouldn't say that. That was only in the airport trying to figure it out.
Trying to get out right in front of the Hertz people.
But I have done a great job since then.
Yes, you have.
Yes. Matter of fact, at one point today, which we'll talk about in the next episode, just parking.
Dio mio.
I needed a bit of Vaseline on the outside of the car, and it worked.
No, it wasn't parking. It was turning that little street.
Oh, and parking.
Oh, yeah, that too. Halfway through today, I thought, this car's too big. So much for what I just said earlier about Lago di Garda is not as precarious as Lago di Como for a future episode.
We're lucky to have this car because it's a little larger than most, and it might come in very handy when we're going up to the Dolomites since it's been snowing the last few days.
I know, like
a lot of snow.
An avalanche the other day filled a tunnel.
I'm pretty happy to have a manual.
All right. Now, let me share that for a change, we are staying in an apartment rental because we'll be here in Lago di Garda for 1 week. I personally prefer to stay in small hotels because I like to get to know people that work there, and it allows me to feel a bit more connected to the locals. However, this time I decided we should have a base with easy parking and, most importantly, in a good location. And I looked at so many options, so this is what I want to share with all of you. And I do this for a lot of clients that prefer rentals when they're a family or groups of friends, etc. So, if you are looking on a site like Airbnb or something similar, definitely read the details. Expand the arrow that says more details. Read every single detail about what the apartment or villa offers, like air conditioning or heat, elevator, washing machine, parking if needed, hair dryers, full or half kitchen, shower versus bathtub, and finally, if you are in a hilly area like the Amalfi Coast, they should list how many steps there are to reach that accommodation. That, for all of you going to the Amalfi Coast, where hotels are super expensive, the amount of steps they list is molto, molto importante.
Can I just throw a quick aside in here?
Sure.
In Mallorca, our friend gave us his apartment, and we love him to death. He's been a great friend. I've sat with him for years.
And his apartment was 25 fantastic.
Years. His apartment was wonderful. We had a beautiful view.
It was awesome.
But it was 97 steps up.
Yeah, and down.
He said it was 100. I counted, 97.
Well, here's the thing. The building is ancient. The steps are irregular.
Yes.
They're spaced differently each floor, you know, like, okay, floor 5 to 6, they're like, whoa, that's tall. And then floor 3 to 4 is like, whoa, that's short. My foot could barely fit on the top of some of the steps on some floors. It was challenging, exhausting, but funny. And we laughed each time. We laughed and huffed and puffed. But at the end of the week, we actually made it without stopping a few times. The first night with our luggage, we're like,
and Chris also said, you'll actually have to think twice whether you want to go out for something.
Exactly. He said his wife didn't leave the house once for 4 days because she couldn't take it.
When they first had the apartment.
And she had just had a baby.
Anyway, you want to think about this with your apartment, potentially rental, in Amalfi also. Okay. Or anywhere in Italy.
So back to the rental. The few times that I have rented before has been through Italian rental companies. But this time it was Airbnb, and this place is as perfect as it looked on the listing, and it has all the amenities and more, right? Super nice surprise. Like, not that we need a curling iron, but there's a brand new one.
Oh, well, I don't use a curling iron.
I said we don't need one.
I know. I'm also happy there's an elevator.
Well, I was going to say that is the big plus to this one after our week in Palma, right? So this is my little travel tip for the day. Really truly read every single detail, look at everything they offer, and read the reviews, because I know for a fact that Airbnb does post all the reviews that someone enters or uploads. So if you see one that says, oh, the water pressure wasn't that great, or there was a little mold on the shower floor, you know those are legitimate reviews. So be very thorough and really look at the photos. And since I had been a professional photographer, I like scour the photos. I can tell that lens was super wide angle and there's no way that bathroom's going to really be that large. And in our case, this place exceeds the listing and the photos are true to life. Va bene. Insomma, we have only been in Italy for 2 days, but we had the first day in Copenhagen that we just described, and then a week in Palma, seeing all these friends and riding e-bikes all over the city and up and down the coast. So I feel like we have a lot of mileage on this trip already, and all of it being fantastic. The only downside is that I brought summer dresses and skirts that I have not worn once. I completely failed on packing for this trip, and normally I do a good job. I have all weather conditions covered, but not this time, sadly.
You didn't believe me when I said, why don't you bring in a lighter coat, a wind jacket?
I actually had to buy a jacket for our bike riding in Palma because I forgot to bring a sporty type athletic thing, whatever. But the funny thing is the jacket that I did find in Palma, I didn't want to spend, you know, €300-400 on a jacket because Palma is a pricey place. Those shops have nice clothes. So I found one in kind of like a yoga gear company, and it is so billowy, it actually could double as a parachute. Yeah.
When she was riding in front of me on the e-bike down the Paseo in Palma, I thought it was Batman in front of me.
Oh my God.
Okay, Batgirl.
I know, so I really failed, but let's see how the weather progresses and if I'm able to wear any of my more summery clothes in the Dolomites, Verona, Venezia. Those are our upcoming destinations on this trip. E basta, amici. We will get another episode out for next week, so stick along for the road trip. Va bene?
Va bene.
Grazie mille. And you know, I haven't even had a sip of this.
I know, it's been sitting here.
Here we go. Amarone da morire.
Okay.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, everybody.
And chin, chin.